take this time to welcome all of the online students by Roku and by the internet, as well as the Darrell campus students. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for this wonderful day that you have made. We've already chose to rejoice and to be glad in it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed for the remission of sin, and the precious Holy Spirit, our helper. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life. We thank you for this school of ministry that you birthed in his heart. And so, Father, we thank you for all the students, both here on Darrell and online. We pray that the greatest teacher of all, the Holy Spirit, would make known to us the purposes and the plans of God for this night in Jesus' name. We all say together, amen.
Amen.
This class, of course, is Catching the Waves of Revival. In chapter 1, it says, in the book Reviving, or Reviewing Revival, it is noted that there are 7 outstanding revivals in the Old Testament. So the author of this book talks about 7 outstanding revivals in the Old Testament. Then he also stated that there are also 9 outstanding characteristics of these Old Testament revivals. Now, what's important is, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I believe Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, all things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. What is it saying? We need to learn from our past. You ever heard it said, if you don't learn from your past, you will repeat past mistakes, right? You don't learn from history, you'll end up repeating it. That's why you see so many people saying, I don't want to be like my daddy who was this, and they end up the exact same way. I don't want to be like my mother because she was this, but end up the exact same way. Why? Because they didn't pay attention to the lessons that history taught. With those statements in mind, these are the 9 outstanding characteristics of revival. Number 1, it occurs in a day of deep moral darkness and national depression. So, number 1, revival comes forth in a day of deep moral decay, deep national depression. Now, nobody needs to talk to us because we see it. But the assignment of the church is not to get wearied by the darkness or the gross darkness that's outside of here. Okay? But we must understand that that's when it's prime time for revival. All right? And we know that the world has an agenda that it's pushing. But that agenda is anti-kingdom. And so we can't be afraid of darkness because we are the
light.
Light. So in a time of deep moral decay, the church should be going the other way. One of the things we notice about our apostle, no matter, you know, we talk about the blessings and increase and abundance and wealth. But this is something we should take note of. He says, I love God more than I love stuff. Come on now. And not only do I love God more than I love stuff, I love my relationship that I have with God. That's more important to me. So I'm going to live a clean life. And all of the ministers and the students, everyone that's surrounding him, this is the demand that he has because it's apostolic. Going back to God's original plan. You follow what I'm saying? So in times of deep moral decay and national depression, see, the world want to just keep going in its way. But the church can't do that. We have to be going in the opposite way. So where there's deep moral decay, we must have a deep consciousness of who God is. Are you with me?
Yes.
Number 2, revival begins in the heart of one consecrated servant of God who became the energizing power behind the revival. God used that vessel to quicken and to lead the nation back to faith in obedience to God. Now listen to me, children. Look up here and online. Pay attention. We're in the middle of a revival right now. Because notice what the author says. God will always raise up a consecrated servant. One man, not a committee, but he will also join like precious fake vessels around that young, around that man who've consecrated himself. Because in a revival, God is looking to sweep the nation. And I believe we have that here today with Apostle Thompson. Come on now. This is the reality of it. God raised him up. God raised him up. Listen to his heart. Even on Sundays, the classes that he's doing in the afternoon, generational salvation, all of this is indication that we're in the midst of a revival. Come on, that we're in the midst of a revival. In order to deal with moral decay and different challenges that we face in life, he's talking about the root is the mind. Come on now. Come on. The root is the mind. If you won't deal with anything, you know, that you're having struggles with, it's in your mind. That's a revival, because the church have not heard this. We fast to try to get rid of stuff. We try to change our behavior. Come on now. But if you don't get to the root, you can't change the fruit. So in revival, God raised up consecrated men. Come on now. Who has insight and wisdom from God to bring us back to God. Are you listening? God is not, God say, I'm God, I ain't changing. For I am the Lord, I change not. Come on now. So if God say, I'm not changing, it behooves us to recognize that we must change. Come on now. Yeah, we must change. God say, my ways, I'm the same. My principles don't change. Times may change. People may change. But I'm God. I don't change. What I was requiring yesterday, I'm requiring today, and I forever will require. So in revival, God takes one consecrated servant, and he is the energizing factor behind revival. Come on now. When God needed the children of Israel to get out of Egypt, who did he choose? He chose Moses. Come on now. When he wanted the children of Israel to go into the promised land, Moses couldn't go because he didn't obey God. Come on now. He got frustrated with the people. Don't let people get you out of your promise. You know, they got him. God told him hit the rock once. He did it twice. That seemed like a small thing. Oh, my God, I can't go to the promised land because I did that. But he didn't honor God. Jesus was only supposed to die once, not twice. Are you listening? Now God takes another man. Who did he choose? Moses' minister, Joshua, to lead them into the promised land. You go down through the scriptures, all through the Bible, God always raises up a man who will have an impact in the world because his dedication and his consecration is to God himself. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can tell if a man been with God. And if you can't tell Apostle Thompson has been with God, I would suggest you get in your prayer closet and pray. Now, I'm not saying that. You see, we get problem with lifting up. You're lifting up a man. Listen to me. At the end of the day, you got to follow a man. There are no angels preaching the gospel. So God has to raise up a man. And we have to quit fault finding and trying to find stuff to criticize and look at the authenticity of the call. Come on, talk to me. We have a real apostle in Darrow. And we don't have to go nowhere else to find him. Come on now. And in America, we have not been acquainted with apostles and prophets. Not like we're going to be in this day. So it starts with how many? One. And he's the energizing and the quickening power behind that revival. All right? And it also brings the nation or the people back to God. One of the statements you constantly hear during the course of Apostle as he's teaching, we're going back to God's original plan. The way he intended it to be from the beginning. And he's talking about dominating. See, the church have not understood dominating, but in revival, it's about taking over, taking back what the enemy stole, taking control. We are the ones supposed to be ruling stuff down here. All this crazy stuff about going to heaven, occupy till I come. Revival takes over the nation. Revival act like it's got its going on. I'm just being real with y'all, and it's not wimpy. You're gonna see each revival rested on the word of God, and most were a result of preaching and proclaiming God's law and prophecy with power. That's the difference. I say that's the difference. I said that makes the difference. Look, we have many good orators, many good charismatic teachers, but at the end of the day, where is the power? Right. Now, y'all remember that little lady on that commercial when they used to serve her that little bitty hamburger? She would say, where's the beef? I'm going to talk to them. You tell me this hamburger good, but where in the hell is the beef? Come on, talk to me. And here we talk about how much we love God and, you know, all this he could do. Let me tell you what people are tired of. They're tired of a lot of talk, but no production. Jesus didn't even need flyers. Jesus didn't need no CDs. Y'all kind of quiet. Jesus didn't. Why? Because Jesus had the one thing that drew people. They said they were drawn to him because they saw the miracles which he done on the people. Listen, the church is supernatural. It was born supernaturally. It was to remain in the supernatural. And you cannot have no supernatural without demonstrations of the power and the wisdom of God. So that's true revival. And I believe in this day we will see creative miracles. Creative miracle, like a hand that wasn't there showing up, or some eyeballs. Come on, talk to me. Some eyeballs that came blind, now they can see. Listen. This is not preaching. This is the reality of what we're headed to. Everything that, see, God uses apostles and prophets to declare the day, what we're walking in. Revival not only brings in these signs, wonders, and miracles, but later on you're going to see it brings not only great power, but great prosperity. Yeah. I say we got all that going on right now. Now, some of y'all, I don't know what you're waiting on. Apostle told you get the book. He told you get your ledger, write down what you sow, and write down what's coming in. All I'm going to tell y'all is you better get to Ecclesiastes 1-6. It's raining. It's raining. The clouds are full, and the reason you know, they emptying out. I promise if you get the book and be in obedience and do what he's telling you, you won't be able to keep up. Everything he promised will come to pass this year. That's revival. Tell your neighbor, that's revival. Because it comes with great preaching and proclaiming God's word with power. Y'all remember what they would say about Jesus? Lord, we ain't never saw it like this before. Oh my God, what? Could you imagine being with Jesus? Every day Jesus did something, not just one thing. Every day he did so many things outside the ordinary, people's heads were swimming. Now, religion and tradition can't produce this. Religion and tradition cannot produce this. I'm talking about true revival. Now, all revivals resulted in a return to the true worship of Jehovah, or to the true worship of God. See, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what apostles bring in the church back to. Governmental gifts. Government stands for what? Control. That's what government is for. Government is for protection. Government is for direction. Y'all kind of quiet up in here. So in revival, with the restoration of apostles and prophets, we see people coming back to God. Listen to this statement. There will be no more superstars in the body. See, that's the problem. We got all these, you know, choice people we won't listen to. God said, I'm raising up men. I'm raising up men. Yeah. I'm training men and raising them up at the same time. To have a voice, not be an echo. My God. To demonstrate my power. And that's what I see happening. And this school is a part of apostolic training. You ought to be different than the average ordinary Christian. Watch this. You're here, aren't you? You had to sacrifice, didn't you? It's costing you something to be here, isn't it? Then if it costs, it also pays. You know, you are sitting up on the apostolic anointing, apostolic teaching. Listen to me. Things will happen to you just because of the connection. See, in revival, it's not just you. It's the connection. See, things are rubbing off on you. You go in a smoke-filled room, smoke going to get on you. You can't sit up on the apostles' teaching unless you're not paying attention. And nothing not happening for you. It's got to happen.
Amen.
All right. In each revival, it says, each witnessed the destruction of high places and idols and false religions and gods. You don't have to argue with the Jehovah Witness. Just manifest Jehovah. Hello. Hello. I'm just saying, you know, you don't have to push one thing or the other. Just manifest all of Jehovah names. And if they come to your door, ask them which Jehovah you want today. Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord who's become my righteousness. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord who is my shepherd, I shall not want for no good thing. Jehovah Shammah, his presence is always with me because I have the Holy Spirit in me. You follow what I'm saying? Jehovah Nissi, I overcome in every situation because the Lord is my V-I-C-T-O-R-O-I. I'm not defeated. I won't quit because I already got the victory. Every challenge is a stepping stone to my promotion because I'm in the midst of a revival. Anything dead is being quickened and made alive. All of these high places, all of these things that people have exalted. That's what I love about reading the Bible. The prophets of old laughed at these people. The prophet Elijah said, bring, go call on your God. Come on, let's see who God is really in charge. Why don't y'all come out? Come on, see, y'all, I don't like to do nothing. My God want to be openly manifested. He ain't hiding in no closet. If we don't put him out there, he can't do nothing. Apostle ain't backing off talking about God ain't the God of wealth because 90% of the body of Christ crying about going with him. He said, let the remnant get it. I'm rich. All of my sons connected to me, all of my daughters connected to me, they're going to be rich too, just like me. I don't want to follow nobody all that time and nothing will happen to me. But the testimony is, it's happening. I'm just letting you know. So Elijah the prophet did this. He said, all you prophets of Baal, come out here and call on him. Now, I want you to know it was comical. Because Elijah said, what's wrong? He on vacation? What's wrong? You got a prophet? He can't hear? He can't see? He said, I'll tell you what. Go ahead on. They called on him all day. They started cutting themselves. They were doing all kind of craziness. Now Elijah said, okay, y'all finished? Now let's talk about the God who answered by fire. See, that was a revival. That was going to shift the whole nation away from the worship of idols to the worship of the one true and living God. Because Elijah said, listen, if you want to follow the true God, he got to answer by fire. Build a trench. Come on, y'all want to talk about my, go ahead on, build a trench. Come on, but put some logs in there. But that's all right, let's add some water. Could you? I'm talking to somebody in revival. Come on, let's put some water up in there. Amen. Your God couldn't answer and it was dry. Go ahead on and wet the logs for me. Come on. Because why? I'm in revival. I have a connection. See, revival means relationship. I got God's attention. You know, God will do anything for me because I'm in connection with him. Amen. So Elijah said, the God who answered by fire, he called down fire. Y'all not talking to me. Now, see, we read about it, but you have to take your imagination and put yourself on the scene and see God answering by fire, yeah. The whole nation turned to God. Yeah. And that's why I believe signs, wonders, and miracles are the calling cards of the church. And prosperity, see in this move, see, we've excited about the miracles and all that, but in this move, all of it's coming together.
Yeah.
God said they're going to have their power and their money.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all kind of, all right, y'all want to go somewhere in revival? Yeah. Joseph brought true revival to the whole world. Because there was a famine in the whole world, and God took a man by the name of Joseph to create, watch this, national universal revival. Why? Because he, as a consecrated man of God, he kept himself in a position where God could use him. Come on, talk to me. He didn't take Satan's bait. He kept himself separated to God. Come on now. He say you fine, but I can't touch you.
Yeah.
Y'all kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Because I have a divine agenda attached to me. And God is with me. Everything I do prosper. Because I have favor. Put me in prison, I'm going to still come out on top. Y'all kind of quiet. See, y'all ready for this? This is where we are. Favor is surrounding you like a shield. Because you're up under apostolic covering, apostolic teaching. You better hear what I'm saying tonight. And because apostle has proven faithful to God. See, we are, it's not you. It's who you connected to. Lot didn't get no word. He was connected to Abraham. Joshua didn't have no word. He was connected to Moses. Solomon didn't have nothing. He was connected to David. The disciples didn't have nothing. They were connected to Jesus. Thank you. Now, everybody talk about the 12th man, but let me introduce you to the 13th man. Jesus chose 12 and ordained them to be apostles, but he was number 13. And the 12 had nothing except they were connected to him. All right. Number 6. In each revival, there was a recorded separation from sin, complete cleansing, and holiness and purity. That's why I gave you your meditation scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Come on, turn to it. You want true revival? Y'all know, it amazes me, and I have to tell you, I was like this as a young man. I had this paradigm, because when I started reading the Bible, it was like everywhere the Bible seemed to talk about something bad, I thought, you know, that was Satan he talking to. Come on now. Yeah, come on. I was still talking about sin. Well, he couldn't be worried about me. Y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
But I believe God have to talk up in there. Watch what he say. Come on.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves,
and pray. Stop. That's why I gave you meditation. See, apostle has stepped up the prayer lives of everybody around him. Because we have been trying to do it with just the word. See, I came out of Word of Faith too. Church of God in Christ, Word of Faith. Come on now. And everything, we push the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. Come on now. Yes. And I didn't say nothing was wrong with it. I said we pushed the word, but we forgot an ingredient. Y'all looking at me. I'm teaching y'all with somebody training me. See, you can be full of the word, but don't have no prayer life. The apostle said, you go wait on tables. We're going to give ourselves, watch this, continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Because the word without prayer don't have no foundation in your personal life. And notice he say, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. So when you're not praying, that's a sign of pride. That's a sign of pride. I can do this. I will do that. You cannot do it. Jesus said, who said?
Jesus.
Who said?
Jesus.
The works that I do, it's not me. It's my Father working in me. If you start thinking this is you and your national big ministry, it's because you ain't been praying. You forgot who doing the work. If my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now listen, God is tired of your priority list. You know, people, we here in school. Look, I'm from the city. They got Mardi Gras going on down there. All right? That's a party. You listening to me? Huh? But when you have a focus and an agenda, not being a part of that don't bother you. Because you know that there's something that's more important. Y'all listening to me? So, humble yourselves, pray, seek my face. God say you want to be first. God want to be first, children. Listen to me. How many of you know people talk about it, but the reality of it is? All right, so God want to be first. First in time, first in rank, first in order. All right, read. Seek my face.
And turn from their wicked ways.
And turn from their wicked ways. Hold up. This ain't talking to the sinner. He said my people. Turn from my twisted ways, my way of thinking. Read.
Then will I hear from heaven.
Then will I hear from heaven. God say, then will I hear from heaven. Go ahead.
And will forgive their sin.
I'm going to forgive their sin.
And will heal their land.
I'm going to heal their land. Well, it seems like if any land's going to be healing, there's going to have to be a turning back to God and a turning away from our wicked, twisted way. The word wicked comes from, it means twisted. So you can be twisted in your thought life. You know, like God understands when you are being lazy and know you're supposed to be in school, but you're doing something else. Y'all quiet. In the mall, but not in class. Out, but not in class. Well, I'm going to take my wife out. I need a break. When you have a mission and the mission is God-centered, take care of first things first. God will help you to redeem your time.
Amen.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
Instead of taking your wife to the mall, you'll be able to buy the mall for your wife. I appreciate your enthusiasm. All right. Now, in every revival, they exalt in the sacrifice of blood. Now, y'all know I'm going through this, but you know, I've been watching after Apostle received that apostolic call. All of this stuff was lining up. He came out, he got the revelation of the cross and the blood. Come on now. Come on. So, see, notice how God told him, I'm going to let you in deeper. I'm going to let you in deeper. Come on now. If you've been around him, you have seen the pattern. Come on now. Then he began to teach us. He said, now the cross is not that wooden beam.
That's right.
So don't be exalting the wooden beam. Exalt the one who got up on the beam.
Yeah.
It was his blood that was shed for the remission of sin. It's his blood that have the same power. Listen to me. We don't preach the blood enough. But as a boy coming up, I remember in coaching, this was nothing but the blood. Come on, somebody. There's power. Power. Wonder-working power. Y'all better hear. But y'all know we throw these songs away, baby. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't ever remember a time they started singing. There was power in the blood. That revival broke out. Because there's power in the blood. See, the blood never loses its power. When God looks at you and when he looks at me, he looks at us through a red glass called blood. Blood. See, that's why you see in apostolic teaching, we're going to write some things. You not presenting yourself. The Bible says Jesus is going to present the church to himself, not having spot or wrinkle. How is that? Blood. My blood cleansed them. My blood made them worthy. They couldn't do it on my own. They needed some, on their own, they needed some help. And I paid. How did I pay? You are bought with a price. Your life is not your own. Blood bought you. So glorify God in your spirit. Glorify God in your mind. Glorify God in your body, because you were paid for. And then, see, in the atonement, I redeem your body. That's why sickness don't have a right to be in it. Because I purchased it with my own blood. It belongs to me. And I don't want no sickness and disease in me. So if you're walking in the midst of something and the doctors have told you it's incurable and nothing can be done with it. In this revival of restoration and reconciliation, if the children of Israel can leave out of Egypt with none sick and diseased amongst them, then how come we can't get it in the church today? We can't be regular and average and ordinary. We have to believe for the supernatural. Pharmaceuticals can't do it. We need supernatural intervention. We've eaten wrong and did many things wrong too long. We need help. Tell somebody, help is here. Y'all got it? All recorded revivals show a restoration of great joy and gladness. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them.
Yes.
And many signs and wonders and miracles followed. And then that great statement came, and there was great joy in the city. See, when true revival breaks out, there will be joy in your city, joy in your nation. Now, I keep saying nation because we don't serve a local God. We serve a national one, an international one, a God who owns the whole universe. And we got to quit limiting him. I believe when the power and the signs and the wonders and the miracle and the money show up, they don't have a choice but come to the church. Each revival was followed by a period of great national prosperity. That's under the Old Testament. And then we have that the latter house, the glory of the latter house, shall be greater than the glory of the former house. So if revival under the Old Testament pattern brought forth national prosperity, what is going to happen today? Huh? Yeah, we in it. It ain't coming. It's here. Get the connection straight. Apostolic declarations should mean something in your life. Y'all ready for this? If apostle said it, it happens. Amen. To me. All right. I just thought I'd let you know. Now. Let's talk a little bit more. Revival is more than big meetings, religion, and religious excitement. Revival is a quickening. Revival is a what? Quickening. A quickening of the saints being filled with the Holy Spirit, and even a great harvest of souls. See, when revival comes, people start coming in. One or all of may exist without revival. Revival is God's revealing himself to men. Come on, revival is God. Revival is God revealing himself to men in an awesome holiness an irresistible power. True revivals are marked by powerful and often witnessed often widespread outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Y'all heard me? That's true revival. It's not about religion. True revival is widespread. For the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it's joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Look, y'all want to know the author, the true author behind great revival is the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because it requires, you know, as we start getting into chapter 2, it talks about spiritual timing. Listen, God is never late. Listen, God is never behind time.
Never.
You feel like that because you in time.
Yeah.
Don't lie to me. Some of y'all feel like God left you already. But see, timing with God is everything. See, I study numbers in the Bible, so numbers mean something to me.
Yeah.
See, to say that numbers, God knew that in 3 days something was going to happen to Jesus. So from Genesis, he showed you in 3 days what was going to happen. On the third day, he started talking about seed coming out the ground. Why? To give you a picture. Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days it's coming up. Well, I'm a seed. I'm going to get planted. Put me in the ground. But I guarantee you in
3 days.
I'm coming back. Y'all not talking. Because on the fourth day, his body would have been rotting. So God said, no, it can only be in there 3 days. Because I'm the God of timing. Pentecost means 50. Jesus showed himself alive after he was resurrected from the dead to his apostles for 40 days and 40 nights, telling them about the kingdom of God. But he told them, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go preach. Don't go teach. You need to be endowed with power from on high. The Holy Spirit means 50. So he told them, y'all better hear what I'm saying. He said, wait, 10 days later, Pentecost, 50th. Y'all better read your Bible. God is an accurate mathematician. Every 40 years, something significant happens in the world. Every 40 years. 1968, a man said, in 40 years, the man said, there will be a black president the way things are going. That was in 68. 2008, you got your black president. Katrina hit 40 years after Betsy. So don't talk to me. See, God is the God of timing. So there's a one accordness coming. There's a gathering coming of eagles coming. And there's going to be sudden and immediately and pop is going to happen so quick. See, that's the thing about when a revival comes. It's like hide and seek. Ready or not, here I come. And that's what I see happening. We've been down for so long. The world think they got it going on. But I see a suddenly, an immediately. It's going to happen so fast. The wealthy people, wealth going to be going so fast. Listen, it's happening
now.
Amen.
No doubt about it.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.